Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
Haven't had the chance to see the Nashville Symphony? A free summer concert series could give you the opportunity.
Plus, downtown Nashville now removes a height restriction for some skyscrapers. What could Nashville's possible new record high building potential be?
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily.
Wonder if in these skyscrapers they're going to serve some amazing coffee. These record high skyscrapers that we could be seeing in downtown Nashville. But if you have a hospitality business and you want to provide fantastic coffee before all the great skyscrapers do, you want to welcome your guests with some amazing fresh and one of the most sustainable coffee bags that you'll ever be able to have here in Nashville, but you really don't know where to start. You want to serve it in a hospitality setting, but coffee is really not your forte, or you don't want to deal with the mess of learning something from scratch. You should check out Blessed Day Coffee's wholesale partner program. You can learn more at blesseddaycoffee.com/wholesale. On their page, it says if you own or are opening a retail store, coffee shop, cafe, grocery store, gift shop, you want to put out some coffee for people. They offer wholesale product pricing as well as training, equipment, complimentary consultation. They have rentals and equipment purchase available. You can do private labeling as well. So I would advise you check out blesseddaycoffee.com/wholesale for all of your wholesale coffee needs.
If you've never seen the Nashville Symphony, this may be your opportunity. So they are returning their free concert summer series starting June 7th, which is a Tuesday, and that is the week of CMA Fest. So we're going to be covering CMA Fest very heavily over the next few days starting tomorrow. But some of the places that they're going are away from downtown Nashville,
yes,
quite far. So you can actually avoid the traffic or the people at CMA Fest by visiting the Nashville Symphony. They're going all the way out to Lebanon to perform.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So Tuesday, June 7th, they'll be at Antioch Southeast Green Space. Wednesday, June 8th at Key Park, Lafayette. Thursday, June 9th at Centennial Park at Musicians Corner. Saturday, June 11th at Cumberland University in Lebanon. Saturday, June 12th at Crockett Park in Brentwood. And they're doing Crockett Park. We talked about their summer series about a week ago.
Yeah. So if you're looking to see the symphony for free, that's a great opportunity for you.
It is absolutely fantastic.
But something that was not free is a parking lot that just sold in downtown Nashville. And this came in at a whopping $2,129 per square foot and more than $100 million per acre.
Wow.
That's insane. So this is 0.11 acres. This is located in downtown Nashville, right behind, is it Luke Bryan's? Yeah, it's right behind Jason Aldean. No, I'm confusing all of this. They're the owner. It's behind Jason Aldean's rooftop and Luke Bryan's. This parking lot just sold for $10.2 million.
So the parking lot is located one half block north of Broadway. The property offers an address of 107 4th Avenue North, and it sits behind the building that houses Dirks Bentley's Whiskey Row. So that's where it is inhabiting. So that will be, I mean, it's close enough to Broadway to where you probably would still hear the music of this bar.
We're going to get Greg the Google guy.
If it ends up being a bar. Right now it's just a parking lot, but most likely it will be another. They said it's they're adding another dynamic concept to the thriving district of Lower Broadway. Most likely it's going to be a bar. They haven't disclosed any official plans, but
it will be a bar. Let's just be honest. We have Greg, a Google guy on the street. He came from the stratosphere, and now he's down in downtown Nashville on 4th Avenue.
All right.
And there is the parking lot, folks. It's very fancy.
There you go. So
there's a lot of boxes there. Always there's a lot of boxes there.
Yeah, so 10 $10.2
million.
$1 million for this right
there. Over $2,100 a square foot.
There you go. Breaking some records with this parking lot announcement.
Dang. It's like every other week, it's like new restaurants and parking lots being sold in Nashville. That's what it seems like right
now.
Very
true. Okay, so more for sale downtown. There is a Second Avenue. So Greg, the Google guy, he is going to pedal tavern his way to the next location. But this is a Second Avenue building. It's a historic building that now belongs to an architecture firm, Brentwood-based Paradigm Studios, spent $4.7 million on the historic commercial property, 117 Second Avenue North. It is formerly home to Bar Benchmark, according to recently filed deeds. The price is equal to a little under half of what that parking lot sold for, $1,000 $1,040 per square foot, still a notable price and a possible record for the corridor, although still doesn't beat out the parking lot. They plan to revitalize it, according to some quotes from the Nashville Business Journal. It's unclear what's in store totally, so I don't know if it's going to be really for the design firm or if they're going to put their touch on it and resell it.
So we have no idea.
Could be a lot of options there.
But Greg, the Google guy, pedal tavern his way down the Second Avenue.
Good for you, Greg.
Yeah, you're getting some exercise right now like while we're sitting at this desk. But that is Benchmark. There's the bar. I've been in Benchmark once.
I don't know if I've ever been inside.
And honestly,
Benchmark.
Yeah, it was a one and done experience. Kind of like a lot of bars in downtown Nashville.
Yeah,
personally.
So, all right, so that is what is happening downtown. So let's talk about before we get into our we're going to be staying downtown in a little bit on this podcast because instead of Greg the Google guy looking straight forward, he may be looking up for a lot of what's coming up for Nashville. But before we do that, we're going to talk about some local food. We're going to stay grounded for a second before we look up. We're talking about some local food here in Nashville. Stuart, we recently went to a place that's down the street from us, City Cafe. We knew it existed. It's a meet and three, but only recently went for a few times. This last time that we went, an incredibly seasoned hamburger steak was at the foundation of our meal. It was absolutely incredible. It was a lot better than what I expected from a hamburger steak.
Yeah, it was delicious. I also had the stuffing, and then they put some turkey dressing on it,
yes.
Or gravy, whatever you call it. and then I also had the sweet potato casserole thing with like it seemed like roasted marshmallows on the top.
Yes, that is correct.
It was delicious,
and they also offered Cajun cornbread. Just had some peppers inside of it,
but it was like
I didn't feel any heat from it really.
But it was an interesting cornbread because it was kind of like a waffle.
Oh yeah, it was. It went in a waffle press.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's a cornbread, which I'm like, that's pretty intelligent.
It was really
I
good.
I like it.
Yeah, if you're on the east side, not in East Nashville, but on the actual east side of Nashville, in kind of the transitioning from Hermitage Avenue to Donelson, or going into Hermitage, City Cafe is along that way. It's kind of where Fessler's meets. Lebanon Pike. Is it Hermitage or Lebanon at that point? That may be where it changes, actually.
That's Lebanon.
Okay, so if you're at that intersection, that's where City Cafe is. Fantastic meet and three. It's been here in Nashville for a while. Definitely, definitely give it a try. All right, let's head over to Explorers Nashville tip of the day.
For Explorers Nashville tip of the day, it's a great day to head to Musicians Hall of Fame and learn about the history of music from Detroit, Nashville, Memphis, LA, and so many other places throughout the country. Musicians Hall of Fame really highlights the back end songwriters and the musicians that performed for all of these really, really famous acts.
Musicians Hall of Fame is tucked away in a basement area of a larger municipal auditorium. So make sure, if it's hard to find, make sure you're looking down.
Instead of up.
Instead of up, which we're going to be looking up a lot here in a minute. But look down for it, and you'll find a lot of street parking in that area, some paid lots in that area as well. But it's a really good place to go if it's getting too hot and you want a nice museum to go to. Maybe you've been to the Country Music Hall of Fame, been to the National Museum of African American Music. You've been to the Tennessee State Museum. But you haven't been to the Musicians Hall of Fame, definitely check it out. And if you want some coffee, Moonshot Coffee is just right down the street. So that'll fulfill your daily coffee needs if you're looking for coffee in the area.
Yeah, it's a great coffee location. And they have an exhibit for Jimi Hendrix. So if you love his music, this is a place for you to visit.
There you go. That is Explorers Nashville tip of the day.
Today's episode of Nashville Daily is brought to you by Screened Threads. If you're looking for Nashville-themed merchandise, make sure to look no further. Our listeners can use the code NASHVILLEDAILY, get 10% off their next online order or in-person visit. You can find them inside of Marathon Village or at thescreenthreads.com.
All right, it is that time. We said we're going to be looking up. Let's talk about why we are going to be looking up. And it's because of a recent court ruling. That was decided recently, or really a court ruling that upheld a few things. The Tennessean is reporting on this, and it could have some lasting impacts on our downtown skyline. So the Tennessee says that a Davidson County court hesitantly upheld, like, I don't know if he just like lightly hit the gavel, I don't know, hesitantly upheld a decision to allow two contested development projects to scale taller than outlined in the Rutledge Hill and the Lafayette Subdistrict Community Plans. The ruling cements the Metro Planning Commission's authority to grant a seemingly uncapped number of additional stories based on a structure's overall contribution to its neighborhood. Three residents of nearby Rutledge Hill condominiums, City Lights, sued the commission in March, arguing that the panel overstepped its authority by approving additional height based on subjective factors on a site-by-site basis. The commission relied on the overall height modification process, which includes criteria such as, quote, contribution to the skyline.
Oh, no, let me read all five of them.
Oh, no.
Okay, I have, this is a different article throwing this out of nowhere.
Oh, no.
This is a unique architecture, which Nashville does not really have unique architecture. Strong streetscape.
So this would allow the continuation of new stories, correct?
Yes, correct.
These are the criteria it has to come to terms with.
Contribution to the Nashville skyline, improvement of the project's relationships to surrounding properties.
Okay, cool.
Improvement to the character of the neighborhood.
Okay,
so that's great. The five qualifications for a increased height raised for a property.
There you go. So while Davidson County Chancery Court Chancellor Ann C. Martin agreed the criteria were subjective, her May 2 ruling ultimately acknowledged the Metro Council's amendments to the downtown code grant the Planning Commission power to decide what constitutes the exceptional design required to extend height beyond neighborhood limits. So if a certain neighborhood, such as Green Hills or something, has some height limits, the Planning Commission can actually outrule the existing height limits in theory because it would provide all of the things that they are looking for in order to contribute to the area.
So what was really interesting, so this other article that was posted on the Tennessean back in March, since 2019, the Planning Commission granted additional height to three of 62 projects built or currently under construction in downtown Nashville.
So I wonder how many of those 62 applied for more height.
But more requests for additional height are pouring in, and with the commission stamp of approval, the city is growing up fast. So one announcement I do remember is, I believe we talked about this the last week, was that 14-story development in the district near Bankers Alley.
Yes.
That had a height extension, I believe. Hotel Indigo had a height extension.
When are they ever going to start construction on theirs?
I have no idea.
They did this a long time ago.
I have no idea. And then I know the Peabody development that we talked about on 2nd and Peabody, they've asked for a height extension. And then that other one that's going in the Cumulus site also asked for a height extension. So I don't know if those other two were approved.
So Ann C. Martin, this chancellor court, this chancellor of the court, said in a quote, "If the leadership of Nashville is going to continue to create flexible standards to modify well-thought-out and drafted zoning ordinances, then the courts are limited in their effectiveness of their review authority. And the Tennessean continues to say, unlike the bonus height program, which allows a fixed number of additional stories for each neighborhood if a project meets certain criteria, there is no limit to the number of floors that may be approved through the overall height modification process.
Interesting. So I found the so another 19 developments. This is from the other article that's also going to be linked in the show notes. Another 19 developments have been approved for additional height, but have yet to start construction, with most of them being approved in the last 15 months. 9 more buildings are in pre-application processes. More than half of these developments are located southeast of Korean Veterans Boulevard, outside of the downtown core.
Interesting. So in this article from the Tennessean, the Planning Commission declined to comment, saying it wouldn't be appropriate to give residents... it wouldn't be appropriate given the residents have until June 1st to appeal. That's from spokesperson Rachel Albright. Steven Snyder, a former developer and one of the City Lights residents driving the lawsuit, said in an emailed statement that Martin's decision, quote, makes clear that there are no height limits on any future development in areas governed by the downtown code, unquote, leaving discussions over additional height criteria, quote, subject to closed door negotiations between developers and the staff of the Planning Commission. So he's saying that this is going to be abused. The downtown code from Ansi Martin, the chancellor, doesn't have height restrictions. Instead, it lays out standards and provisions to modify those standards under specific circumstances. More about the downtown code. The downtown code implements a community planning process envisioning the future of multiple distinct neighborhoods by regulating the physical form of buildings. Since being established 12 years ago, it's been amended multiple times.
Okay. So the main concern, and we talked about this had to be probably 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, is that second Peabody site. And if I remember correctly, they were planning on building initially... Okay, yes. So they were planning on building a 36-story building, 32-story building, and an 18-story building. So they wanted to basically raise one of those other towers to a couple more stories, like 38 stories or so. And then the Centrium development with 3 towers, this is all focused in this the Korean Veterans Boulevard area. They're having 3 towers on their property that are going to be 39 stories, 32 stories, and 29 stories.
Yeah, I mean, so we're seeing that these kind of taller towers, instead of being somewhere between 14 and 25 stories, we're seeing more of an average of 30-plus stories with a lot of these. And then, so essentially, the average is raising for the height of these stores coming in, and then what will eventually happen is, I think we'll have how soon do you think within the next few years, or how soon do you think we'll have our first 50 plus story building?
It's that's interesting. So the tallest building right now in the state of Tennessee is the AT&T building, or their new name, 333 Commerce Street.
301 Commerce.
Yeah. They have, I believe, let's see, they have 33 stories in their building. So you're having some of these buildings with these 38, 39-story type renovations and approvals.
How tall did you say the AT&T building is?
So it's 617 feet tall. So that's with the antenna.
Oh, man.
And the rooftop from the antenna is 452 feet. So 33 floors. To answer your question about a 50-story building, a 50-story building is, what, basically 750 feet, maybe? I don't know.
Don't know.
It's probably 1,000 square feet, or 1,000 feet in elevation. I don't think we'll get a 50-story building for at least 10 years.
Okay, so 10 years is your timeline?
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen in downtown.
So remind me one more time. How tall the AT&T building?
617 feet.
Okay, so just for context, we've talked about different cities that Nashville is essentially modeling after, and I think Chicago, with our new riverfront, Chicago is really kind of reminiscent of what could be developed in Nashville. Here's a list of the tallest buildings in Chicago, and I've got a list here of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of their tallest buildings, all much taller than the AT&T building.
Literally almost triple.
Willis Tower is 1,450 feet. Trump International, 1,388. The Residences, 1,191. 875 North Michigan Avenue, which is the Sears Tower, is one. It's just not listed as the Sears Tower anymore because it's not called the Sears Tower anymore. 1,128 feet. Two Prudential. It doesn't list the full names on here. Two Prudential Plaza, 995 feet. 311 South Wacker is 961. NEMA Chicago is 896. 900 North Michigan Shops, 871. Chase Tower, 868. And Water Tower Plaza at 859. All of those, and I believe there are a few more sitting above the height of the AT&T building.
Yeah, so it's...
We've got a while to go.
It's interesting because I think if we see a 50-story building, it's going to be like 800 feet. 800 feet from the ground up. I don't think we're going to see it in the downtown core. I think we're going to see it on the East Bank.
East Bank, yep.
And the reason for that is because I don't know if we have the infrastructure for a building that tall in the downtown core.
I think we do in SoBro along as we expand south.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have it. As we explain that south to Midwest, or not Midwest,
or into south Pie to Midtown, Town. Yeah, so we're that
to
huge
Gulch to Pie Town, yeah. All of that area, I think could support it.
Where that huge factory is, that empty factory that's just sitting right off the interstate right there.
Yeah,
that would be incredible.
I think we'll see it either there or the East Bank, somewhere maybe near the Cumulus site. We could end up seeing a tower that tall. Unlikely, but I think East Bank is a safe bet.
Yeah, and part of the reason for that is you're going to have the new Titan Stadium, and then you'll have all these other things. But guess what? Tomorrow, we're talking about CMA Fest, and we're going to be dedicating some time to CMA Fest. We're actually going to be talking about CMA Fest for a few days. The ins, the outs, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. This is going to be your source for CMA Fest.
There you go. So, yeah, whether you're trying to enjoy it or avoid it, we'll be talking about all the ways to make your time of CMA Fest. Thank you for listening to Nashville Daily.
To learn more about today's episode, visit NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. And to stay connected, head to our Discord and you can find the link at NashvilleDailyPodcast.com/connect. Nashville Daily is now offering tours. If you'd like to take a tour of downtown Nashville, head to the link in the show notes or find out more details at NashvilleDailyPodcast.com.
Nashville Daily Podcast is an Explore.Nash production. Copyright 2022.